We all know communication is an important skill for leaders. Then how is it that so many conversations go so wrong? If you want to improve your ability to create stronger relationships, not only with your team, but also your peers and senior leaders, you're going to want to listen to this episode because we are going to let you in on the secret to how your physiology could actually be holding you back from being the best that you can be. I'm Jill Avey, a career success coach, and this is Sister Smart Leadership, the show that explores how women can rise from director to vice president and beyond by fully leaning into their feminine energy as their biggest advantage. Let's get you one step closer to the recognition and promotion you deserve. I'm here with Sister Smart coach Sarah Spencer, and we are combining the latest in neuroscience, which has only become available since the invention of the fMRI, with conversation skills to help you open up your conversations in order to get decisions more quickly, problem solve more effectively, discover those new innovations that are going to change your business. So this is our client's favorite part of the Sister Smart Leadership Program. It's the one that impacts their performance, their team's performance the most, and starts to get them the attention that they deserve. So the first thing that I want to talk about is the two parts of our brain. So Sarah, can you tell us a little bit more about the primitive part of the brain?
Yeah, the primitive part of the brain, that's that part of our mind that wants to keep us safe. It causes us to, in challenging environments, like to either fight, freeze, or flee. And I think we've all heard the story that if we're hiking and we see a bear, right, we're going to do one of those. And so it just, and it happens so fast. And it's that part of our brain also that has more of that negativity bias. So it's because it wants to keep us safe.
It's not out looking for peace and harmony. It's looking for danger all the time, isn't it?
Right. It wants to keep us safe and keep us alive. And so it's not thinking about those higher functions, which is that human brain.
Yes, right. And what often happens is this fight or flight mode that you're talking about, this comes from the amygdala. And we can feel that as fight. Sometimes we call it amygdala hijack. Sometimes we call it the fight or flight mode. So first is the fight mode. And this comes out a little differently in the business world. So when you're in a meeting, it's not that bear that you're meeting on the trail where you're literally wanting to run and keep yourself physically safe. In a meeting, we're more talking about protecting our ego, not our body. And so the fight mechanism might come out as somebody arguing or digging in their heels harder. And I know this is one that I feel a lot. And so that's how we might see that in a meeting. And then the flight mode might come out as feeling like you really need to leave. Like, we got to get this meeting over with now. Not this meeting's droning on for a long time and I have other things to do. We often feel that. But when there's an urgency to that, and then we're feeling like we've got to wrap it up now, I literally need to leave the room. You have a hard time sitting in your chair. That's a good notice that flight mechanism might be going on.
Yeah.
And then there's freeze, which is more like a senior leader calls on you for something and your mind just goes blank. It might be something that you know about. You do it all day, every day, and you can't think of a single thing. That's a common freeze response. And then the next mechanism that we have is appease. So this one often feels like, fine, whatever you want me to do. And it might be like crossed arms and a little leaning back of just needing this to get over with. And you're going to tell them whatever they want to hear to be able to get out of this conversation. And then the final one is tend and befriend. So this is what looks like a peacemaking effort. So a lot of people have a great distress when there's argument going on or when it starts to get heated. And so that might feel like very urgently needing to calm things down and get people to get along. So those are some of the different ways that we can see the fight or flight mode going off in a business situation, in a meeting, and we can watch out for that. And calm ourselves, like, so we can take efforts to calm ourselves in a meeting. And I'm thinking about this one client that we had that really got a lot of use out of this. She was in finance, and sometimes the finance people have to be that person who's, you know, I'm not always delivering a message that people want to hear about, we can't do that, or the budgets are tight, or how much is that going to cost, and sometimes making hard decisions around money. And so she was really watching for these mechanisms in her meetings and was able to really see when somebody else was having that response and work to be able to partner more with them in those moments so that they didn't feel that they could calm down themselves. She was also able to notice it in herself when it started to happen to her and be able to do some breathing and take a moment to kind of get out of that mode and back into her better brain. So the better part of our brain is the human brain is what we call it for ease of use. And so what, tell us a little bit more about what the human brain is like, Sarah.
Yeah. So the human brain, if we even think about our hand, right? So this is from Dan Siegel's hand model of the brain, right? It's not really what it looks like. So we've got our primitive brain and then the prefrontal cortex. Imagine it laying over, right? And so you, if you look at it, you can almost notice when you get triggered, right? And then you want to take a moment, like Jill had mentioned, to notice if you're going into that fight or freeze or flee response. And this is the part of our mind that masters those higher functions. It's our conscious brain. It's a part of our brain where we access creativity and innovation, where we can really create an environment of trust with our team and belonging. So it's that part of our mind where the hormone oxytocin comes from. And so we want to just be aware when we get triggered and we're in that primitive brain so that we can move to the prefrontal cortex. And so that's where, you know, we can increase generosity with others. We can build social confidence with our team. We can increase group connection. And Jill, you were talking about that example with one of your clients. So we have to also think about mirror neurons. Like, what are we putting off? She was noticing that other people on the team were maybe in their primitive mind. And so how could she create that environment that is warm and relaxing, right? It's that fertile ground mm-hmm. where we can see each other differently, work better together, have that trust and more openness, right? And that's what we want. We want to bring more of ourselves to work and be more engaged in that innovative and creative space so that our team and our organization is accessing more of our full potential. So anything else you want to add about the human brain, the in our prefrontal cortex?
Well, it's really where the magic happens and what makes us, you know, able to do what we can do as humans. And so it's definitely the exciting part of our brain that we want to be in more often. So often, instead, we are flooded with the hormone cortisol. And so that's something that we want to really want to watch for, because what cortisol does is it prepares our body to fight or flee. It's what is triggering that fight or flight mode that we were just talking about. It's moving the blood to all of the muscles so that your body's ready to go. That goes back to evolutionary times when we were being chased by something. Even though we're not being chased by something now, we're protecting our ego. It's still preparing our body to move. And the reason why that's important is because it shuts down the organs that aren't required for that quick movement. So our digestive system, and importantly, the human brain that Sarah was just talking about. So this is the most important part of our brain. It's the part of our brain that we need when we are in meetings to be at our best. And yet it's shut down when we're in fight or flight mode. And we don't have a lot of access to it at all. And because that's not the time that we want to share and bond and partner with people, our body's doing something else. And so this is really important for us when we think about our performance in a meeting. Our performance is going to go way down if we've got a cortisol situation, because we are seeing people as friend or foe, and we actually see people as objects, not as humans. And so that can really make a difference on how you're behaving in a meeting. And people want to protect themselves, they want to protect their budgets, their departments, and their own perception of how people are seeing them and things like that. So it's really not the place that we want to be in a meeting. Instead, it would be much better to be in that oxytocin state where you were just talking about that, Sarah. What more can you tell us about oxytocin?
Yeah, oxytocin, that's that love hormone. And it's not that we're coming to work to be in that state, but it creates more, as I mentioned, more trust, right? And we're appreciating others and their diversity and their differences versus judging, right? You had mentioned friend or foe, right? Mm-hmm. We want to be in an environment that isn't covering for ourselves, right? We want to be in an environment where it's positive and appreciative, right? So more reinforcing the positive versus explaining or judging. And it takes a moment to shift gears and notice like the physical, right? So have that physicality trigger you to know, okay, I need to access another part of my brain. Like you mentioned, like take some deep breaths, right? So that you can actively increase the oxytocin. Shift and reframe is one tool that I know you mentioned in the training. And then refocus your mind and redirect when you're in meetings or in conversations and you notice you're going into that primitive brain state. Because really where you're going to get the most from yourself and from others and be able to create that space of psychological safety and trust with your team is when we're more actively engaging our prefrontal cortex, right? Those higher functions of our mind.
Yeah, I even had one boss that he really liked to manage with fear. And so I would get triggered from him all the time. And I even would write a note in my notebook about I am safe here. And there's no danger here for me, because that way I could use my mind to calm myself down versus my body just reacting to him. And
right.
He was actually a really nice, funny guy, but he just had this habit of using fear. And so if I could keep myself focused on the manager that I really liked and that part of him that I liked more, then it would, you know, help me stay in the performance that I wanted to be in the meetings. Yeah.
I think we had that same boss. And I think those are those learned habits and patterns and behaviors of leading, right? And he must have gotten some, you know, reaction and movement by being in that state. And now there's so much more science on the brain and mirror neurons and how to create an environment of trust and belonging. There's so much more leadership information out there nowadays. But I feel like, you know, it's almost like we don't know what we don't know. So I love this part of your course because it really highlights those hidden things about our mind and how we can actively switch from one area of our mind to another to get the results that we actually want. We want our team to feel comfortable and share content and be at ease so that we get most of them. We get more of them in our meetings.
Exactly. Yeah. And understanding our physiology is the first place where we can start to do this. So I'm really excited that we got to talk about this today. And thanks for joining us, Sarah.
My pleasure. Thanks, Jill.
So you can see that we really want to have much more of our conversations in an oxytocin environment, because this allows us to be able to use that human brain that we were talking about and not get stuck in our primitive brains. So we like to end every episode by giving you three shifts that you can make today. So our first shift is to watch yourself in conversations and see when you're getting triggered into that fight or flight mode. So I described the five different modalities that you might feel in that. After you start to notice when you get triggered, your next shift will be to notice what your body's telling you, because you want to tap into your body sensations here. As Sarah was mentioning, it's really good to be able to feel what your body's telling you, because that's always going to tell you faster than your mind, because that primitive brain works really fast. You're always going to feel it first before your mind will catch up and figure out what's going on there. So that's your second shift. And then your third shift will be to notice which situations are triggering you most often. We were mentioning a certain manager that might have triggered us. Sometimes it's a coworker, sometimes it's a subject matter. Different types of meetings can do that. So when you can identify where you're getting triggered, it can help you to identify which methods you want to bring with you to be able to calm yourself. So sometimes just coming in, Sarah was talking about reframing. So coming in and just framing your mindset before you come into a meeting can be very helpful. So have you ever felt fight or flight response in a meeting? We'd love to hear from you if you're watching this on YouTube in the comments. So share which one of those fight or flight responses you felt before and maybe how that felt for you. We would love to hear that. And also, speaking of being able to calm yourself down, head on over to the show notes and get our guide with 8 quick relaxation techniques to quickly calm down in a meeting. So this guide will give you a whole handful of things that you can do to stay in that human brain rather than letting your amygdala get hijacked so that you're at your best for your full meeting. And if you want to dive deeper into women's leadership and how you can move up in your career, subscribe either on YouTube or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. I'm on a mission to help more women get into leadership and stay there. And if that's aligned with you, I'd love to have you be part of this community and tune more into episodes on Sister Smart Leadership that will support you in becoming the leader you want to be. If you're ready to fully lean into your feminine leadership and get promoted from director to vice president and beyond, hit that subscribe button so you'll get all the episodes to come. And check out the recommended video here to see how women are rising up without playing by the old rules that built these male-dominated industries and systems. If you're seeing just how differently women lead and how by doing so, women leaders can gain influence, restore balance, and earn the recognition and promotions they deserve, I would love it if you left a rating and review. I read each one, and these reviews make it possible for me to reach more women leaders like you so they can rise up as far as they'd like without getting stuck.